Before we begin this episode, we would like to give a shout out to our patrons on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems, especially Jen, Daniel, Audrey, Natalie, Danielle, Saul, Maria, Luis, Edis, and Kimberly. If you'd like to support this podcast in return for awesome rewards, it really helps us keep this thing going. You can do so at patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. All right, let's start the show.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Right. Fucking thing sucks!
10, 5, 4, 3.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is Cassandra.
And this is Ruben.
Haven't been here for a hot minute.
Yeah, even though we saw each other like once a week, like from the last week of October to like Thanksgiving. Yeah.
I know. That was like a moment.
Yeah.
And it's gone and it's weird now. And it's like we never saw each other. That's what it feels
like. It does feel like that. I was like, who is this bitch who I am checking in with right now? But yeah, in case you don't like follow us on social media and you're like very strictly only about like following us on the podcast, like Cassandra and I were just on tour. We were doing a lot of live shows. We had one in Oakland and another one in Sonoma, then like two in LA, and then one in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Wait, which is the state? Pennsylvania. Yeah.
So it was like a suburb outside of
Philly.
Is it Pennsylvania?
Okay. Girl, I don't know.
We were out there.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a great time. If you want to, and just for people who don't know, like, or who forget, like, Cassandra is in El Paso, Texas, and I am in LA, California, and we have met now like 7 times to get all total. Like, I've only been able to touch her like 7 times. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really exciting.
Yeah.
To like, we literally saw each other like once every week for like a month. So yeah, that was like the most contact we've had.
TBH, yeah.
And we had a lot of fun, and we had so much fun meeting people and having cool and deep, sometimes not sad, but you know, just deep conversations about everything.
Yeah, there was, you know, there was a lot of real conversations that we had. You know, sometimes we weren't ready and sometimes we were too ready. But I think folks sometimes just need it. Like, I think in some scenarios, I've never had somebody talk to them candidly about certain things.
Yeah.
But if you want to get us together in your school or organization's event, you can email us at bookings@bitterbrownfemspodcast.com or visit bitterbrownfemspodcast.com/bookings. Either one works. You can also just visit the website, bitterbrownfemspodcast.com. Because I kind of bust my ass building that website. And it looks cute. And it has a shit ton of resources. So, like, every single thing we talk about on any one of the episodes, like, there's, like, at least one resource to expand your knowledge on it, right? Because some bitches got on the iTunes review and they were like, these people don't have evidence, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just, about what they're saying. And, like, even though they're right, I'm just like, what? Like, I don't know. These reviews really pissed me off that they were like, we don't have evidence for, like, our shit, and that we're not professionals. I'm like, first of all, if you want to go to CNN and watch some white ass people give you these news, like, you can go do that. Like, we're giving you our critical analysis with our shit that we find, like, and that we have to back ourselves up, and all that is provided for you. So if you got some shit to say, go to bitterbrownfemspodcast.com and educate yourself more. Hating ass bitches.
All right. Yes, much love to all our fans. I'm just like, okay, yes. I feel like if you would have said this in person, I would have just been in the background smiling. Yes, we love our fans. Thank you for those reviews. But no, seriously, if you haven't checked out our website, you know, like, a lot of people, like, you might listen to this episode on, like, Spotify or iTunes or SoundCloud, and, like, that's it, which we appreciate, but definitely, if you haven't gone to our site that Ruben made, and it's so cute and pink and yellow. Aside from the aesthetic, though, we do have like transcripts available for most of our episodes, and we're, you know, someone still is still transcribing the rest, so hang on in there. But if you need those, that's also available. And like the songs that we play, and also any article that we mention in the episode, and a lot more to follow up on. So it's not like, yeah, we're not just like randomly making up stories and putting it out there, you know. But thank you for these reviews. I'm not trying to be, you know, angry about it. I'm super angry all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And so for people who haven't reviewed us, like, go to iTunes, review us on iTunes, give us 5 stars, please. And yeah.
So other people can find us also as well.
Yeah, and so we can get featured for once in our goddamn life on iTunes. They always feature like the wackest, like most like safe podcasts. And I'm just like, okay.
True.
Like, I get it. Like, they're cute and all, but like, they don't say anything dangerous. But also, like, who thinks we're making up stories? Like, what kind of fucked up, like, minds will we have to just be making up these news stories? Like, I wish we didn't. Anyway, on to some fucked up news stories.
Yes, that's, like, the segment of our podcast. But what have you been doing since I last saw you? Because, like, we were on tour, and I feel like, for me, like, it was really stressful. It was a lot for me that whole month. And then my life's just been really shitty. I'm not going to go, like, deep into it, because I feel like I always have, like, a story about how my life is shitty. But this last month was, like, extremely really, really bad. And it was right around the time that we started touring. So it was just, like, a lot for me. But if you follow me on social media, like I did mention, like I was having some issues with my landlord, and I'm still dealing with her bullshit. But pretty much I don't have a heater. I don't have a heater, and she refuses to fix it. And so I'm kind of like in this, you know, I don't want to say, I guess, battle, which isn't really a battle, but yeah, slumlords. So
yeah. I remember when you, like, first found her, and you're like, she's really nice, and blah, 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 and I'm like,
I know, landlords, I said that.
Landlords are not your friends. Like, landlords are the enemy. Like, they're literally putting a price on, like, a basic human, like, you know, essential, right? We should all just have places to live that should be, like, a basic human, like, right? And landlords take advantage of that. Like, that is literally their job.
Yep. Yep, I did think she was nice. But now I don't, because she's a bitch. She's a bitch. But actually, after what was the last time we were together? Oh yeah, in East Coast somewhere, Pennsylvania.
Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
The weekend of Thanksgiving. What happened? Oh no, like the following week, I actually had an event in Rio Grande Valley, and that was exciting. So I did a talk on, like, machismo there.
Yeah.
At the university, and I was really excited because it's, like, I think it's the first time that I went somewhere in Texas. And also just being in another, like, border city and, like, meeting people there was, like, really cool. And seeing, like, the same things that are the same here in El Paso as in the RGB and vice versa, or things that are not, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway... Apparently, like, some professors there, like, were against me going, because they said I was, like, too aggressive, and so that was, like...
Was there, like, a petition?
Not surprising. Could you imagine? No, there was not a petition. It was just, like, by word of mouth that they told me this. So I was just, like, it's just, like, really interesting to me how... I'm labeled as aggressive. But I feel like if I was Chicano, if I was, like, a guy, like, they would have no problem with it, you know? And then I was reading, like, some of the comments that people were saying about me actually going there. Not professors, but just, like, actual people. And there's just a lot of people that don't like me there, so that That was really interesting, going to a place, like, knowing a lot of people didn't want me there. And it was mostly because, you know, because they're kind of, like, on the liberal side of politics, yeah. Which is, like, yeah, I guess that would make sense that you don't like me. But anyway, the talk went well, though during my talk, a lot of guys walked out.
Who?
A lot of guys that were in the... And they like walked out, and so yeah, I just felt like Eminem, you know, like being protested against for my race.
Was there it was like a noticeable amount of dudes?
It was weird because I wasn't like necessarily trying to pay attention, like who is like walking out, and also I think me and you both know, like during talks, like people do walk out because they have class or for whatever reason. So like that's not unusual thing to happen, but people after the talk did tell me like that some guys were like sneering and then they walked out. So I think it was because of what I was talking about specifically. But I was like, well, I mean, if the shoe fits.
What's funny is that, like, for me, like, rarely do I have, like, enough of a male presence in my talks for them to ever walk out. So, like, like, honestly.
That's good.
Yeah. Honestly.
Well, I mean,
it's not, like, I think only when I tour with you do, like, men, like, actively show up.
Wow. Why? Why is that?
I don't know. I think that, like, I'm off-putting to men. Like, duh.
But that's a thing. That's a thing I feel, and that's a thing that I talk about. Like, I feel with the name Chicanisma, a lot of people, or a lot of guys are like, oh, she just posts about, like, Chicano, Chicanx things. And so I'm included in that conversation, right? Because a lot of the guys, most of the guys that comment on Chicanisma are always like, are you brown? Are you Chicana? Or like, are you like your race versus your gender? Like, they're trying to, you know, I think I've said this before, like, they'll be like, so are you a feminist or are you Chicana? Like, are you brown? Or are you, you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah,
pick one.
No,
and
I think,
just like, no,
I think,
bitch, I'm both.
Yeah, no, and I think so, that's the fucking irony of, like, they're coming to a page called Chicanisma to ask you if you're brown or if you're a woman. Like, when the fucking term itself was invented because you are both, right? You're a feminist brown woman. Like,
yeah, but they really don't. I don't think they fully comprehend it or don't want to. And also, like, a few. It's just a hot mess. But yeah, also times that I. The times that I post pictures of myself, sometimes, like, on Chicanisma, like, I do get the guys that are like, implying like I should only post selfies and not anything else, and I'm just like, why are you following me?
Yeah, now I have a friend, Raquel Savage. She posts like thirst traps, but under the thirst traps, like, it's like a whole educational thing, and so she calls them like educational thirst traps, or like and so she'll talk about like consent and like, or, you know, random, she's a sex therapist, so she'll put a marriage and family counseling therapist as well. So she posts things like under her thirst trap. So some people, you know, that's somebody's brand.
That's a good brand.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that sucks. Luckily, I think the closest thing I had to like any kind of like action being taken at one of my talks was like, I was at this school that was like really conservative, and like members of like their like Republican club came to try and like film me and like try to like get like according to their thoughts, like I was gonna be implanting like, you know, insurgent thoughts in their students to like, you know, come at white people or something, right? And I was just like, this is a workshop on like healing, like like you want to heal with me, white brother, like like
oh and my god, so, that's so funny.
Yeah. And so, like, I think that's been it. Other than that, I haven't really met, like, or even, like, I haven't really, oh, no, you know what? My first talk ever, I was with Daniel Varenga, who's, like, a Salvadoran journalist, and that's when I faced, like, a very, like, a moment with this liberal-ass white Latina. She was, like, coming at me and Daniel, it was like right before the Trump election. She was like, why aren't you telling people to vote for Hillary? Like, blah, 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 blah. And like Salvador. And then, and Daniel was like, she literally like ordered like the massacre of like countless people and is responsible for like so much pain and death in my home country. Like, what the fuck are you even talking about? And she just wouldn't listen. Like, and I'm just like, why are you even here, girl? Like, I think that's what it, yeah.
Yeah. It's always like, not, I guess it can be scary because sometimes when I do mostly talks, or when I do talks on machismo, like in any talk really, like you are subject to violence or harassment or just like people that want to talk shit to you. Yeah. Right. And so, but you know what? That's okay, haters. Bring us to your school anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, no, what have I been up to since then? I came back home for Thanksgiving really quick. And then two people in my life had children, and I went to go help one of them with like recovery after that. And just provided like free childcare essentially for a couple weeks. And just like help with housework around the house because she had like other kids that needed attention, and so yeah, I just went to go do that. Yeah, and that was most of my time. I was just like entertaining children and taking care of children and playing video games essentially. Yep.
Yeah, I turned 30.
Oh, you did? So, oh my god.
Yeah, I think it's been like maybe about 2 weeks now. Yeah. Yeah, my life's just been really shitty. Like I've been looking forward to being 30 for like years.
Yeah.
Not maybe like 4 years now. Like everyone that I know that's my age is like, I don't want to be 30. I'm gonna be old, or like it's like this dreadful thing. But I just like really super excited about it. Because I'm just like, I mean, I feel like you're always, most of your life is probably spent like still learning new things about yourself. Yeah. And still quote unquote, you know, searching for yourself or whatever. But I feel like 20s are still like you're an adult, but like not really, because you're, especially if you're a millennial, I feel like you're still trying to get your shit together, like figuring shit out. So I feel like when you're 30, you're a little bit more grounded, or a little bit more, I don't know, like confident in who you are. I don't know. So I'm really excited about it. So I was really excited about it. And then I was like super excited for Sagittarius season and like all this shit. But the universe hates me right now. I don't know. Like all this shit happened when we were on tour. Like I lost my passport, which I still haven't found. And I lost my ID. And all my flights got delayed, which is my fault. But also I had to work. And then my heater broke. And just like a hot mess. My life's been a hot mess. So hopefully, I mean, I don't know at this point, really. If you all could send some prayers my way, that would be nice.
Oh, I'll pray for you later today.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. No, for me, I think, you know what? I don't know. We know what upsets me is like a lot of like young, I think it's very specific to queer people. There's like, especially like gays and lesbians specifically, it's like this like ageism of like, oh, you're in your late 20s, like you're fucking old as shit. And I don't know. I just never felt that, especially as someone who like almost didn't survive their early 20s. Like, I'm very excited to be in my 30s and to, yeah, like you said, like have my life in a new stage of organization, right? Because you know, I'm gonna be 30 soon, and only now are things starting to shape up for me in a way that like never been that I never thought possible, right? So yeah, I'm also looking forward to 30.
Yes, and everyone should. Because that means no one can tell you shit. Once you're 30, you're a real adult.
Yeah.
Supposedly. It's just exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for you to be 30 too, friend.
Thank you.
For Aquarius season. Yes. We're just going to skip Capricorn season.
Yeah.
Straight to Aquarius.
They're like, ugh, you know, Capricorns. I think one of my best friends is like right at the cutoff of Capricorn and Aquarius, and I'm just like, I'm just gonna take you in as an Aquarius because you're like the funnest Capricorn I've ever met. Because Capricorns are usually, no, I have two Capricorns, but my other Capricorn friend is like the leader of the group, and so I guess I don't really see her as a Capricorn as much as they see her as a Sagittarius. Because Sagittarius are also the leaders of the group, like, usually, I feel. Anyway,
I can't even talk shit about Capricorns because, you know.
Because your boyfriend will get mad. Yeah.
No, I do appreciate Capricorns, though. I feel like I don't know many, but the ones that I do know. And you know what? My boyfriend's really reliable and dependable. Like, he comes through.
Yeah.
All Capricorns do. Like, when I need to get something done, I will ask a Capricorn because I know they're going to do it right. Like, the lady that does my nails.
I only know Capricorns who are shitty communicators. Like, that is literally all. Except for my best friend who I mentioned earlier, who's like the leader of the group. Other than that, they're all pretty shitty communicators.
That's really interesting that you say that, because I feel like Aquarius are not the best
communicators. Wow, no, we know how to communicate. Other people are just not on our level. Like, that's what it is.
I mean, and this is a self-jog, because I know I let's not even get into this. let's jump into the news, because we haven't recorded in 2 months.
Yeah.
And we were like, what are we going to talk about? There's so much to talk about. Like, we've literally have been absent.
Yeah.
So we just put together, like, the most, I don't want to say important, because I'm sure there's other important things that we're going to miss. But, you know, just some of the things that are happening now that we feel we should talk about.
Yeah. So I think the first thing we can start off is, like, how, you know, we talked about as you get older, you get more mature. But you know who doesn't get more mature? Like, man babies who cry about not getting laid. Like, so in case you don't know about this community, they're called incels, which stands for involuntary celibates? Something like that. So there's this group of, like, men on the internet who are, like, occupy the same 4chan, you know, chat boards that, like, the alt-right does. And so they share an ecosystem, right? But the incels are not always so. Although race is a reason why they're angry, they're more angry that, like, women don't want to fuck them, right? And incels are usually, they're like the alt-right, but a little more diverse. not that the alt-right doesn't have, like, black and brown people in it, because it does. But yeah, so incels are mad at women, and recently they started a campaign where they were, like, flagging sex workers on different social media, right, on Instagram and Twitter, and supposedly reporting them to the IRS for not paying taxes on sex work, which is, like, just, like, factually just, like, not true. Like, sex workers pay taxes, right?
Yeah, just a hot ass mess. But also, what do we really expect from men on the internet? Or men just period, right? It's like, why? Like, what? Like, mind your business, first of all.
Yeah.
How does you reporting people to the IRS, like, what does that do for you? Like, what?
Like, you're still not going to get laid, like.
Yeah, like, sorry about it, but it's just, and I bet they, like.
I think a part of it is, too, is, like, that sex workers are monetizing something that, like, these incels cannot get, period. Like, that is just, like, unattainable for them, like, even for free. And I think that really, like, burns them. Like, that really gets at them. And it's just, like, I don't know what to tell you, homie. Like.
Yeah, and it's not just incels, I feel. It's, like, a lot of people, and men in particular, do not, or have this disdain for sex workers, because it's, like, you are out here calling women hoes and sluts and, you know, using us for sex, or, like, and also shaming us for it at the same time. And here are people who are, like, taking that back and making money off of it and, like, making a fucking living off of it and setting the rules themselves, you know? And, like, that really fucks patriarchy up and those limitations that men have, like, not limitations, but it fucks, like, that whole, like, it fucks everything up. So they don't know what to do with themselves. And they're just like, well, I guess I can report them because because the government will listen to me because I am a man.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's like, what the fuck is the IRS going to do to them? Like, the thing, what really harms them is that they flag, like, you know, these accounts from sex workers and then they can't work anymore. Like, that is harmful. But, like, calling the IRS on a sex worker isn't going to, like, really do anything. Like, there's very many protections that sex workers as independent contractors can have, right? Because, again, a lot of them do pay taxes. And on the topic of, like, taxes, like, also comes this very real, I think, misconception that, like, sex workers are, like, you know, balling all the time. They're rich as fuck. And it's like, no, like, a lot of people, you know, who are in the sex work industry, like, are not making shit ton of money, especially if they're of color, if they're trans. And I think these things need to be understood in order for, like, I don't know, specifically from I've seen women attack, like other women attack sex workers without understanding, like, what the fuck is, like, what sex work entails, right? They're not coming at your man trying to steal them and, like, have money.
No one wants your
man. Yeah. Well, A, nobody wants your man. And B, like, your man probably doesn't have enough money, like, to be. Because he's obviously with you. But. No, but, like, that's not, like, a sex worker's role, like, or, like, you know, a job. Like, sex workers are just doing a job and they get contracted, right? And, like, whether or not the person who contracts them has a partner, like, is not their business. Like, that's. So I think that there needs to be, like, a better understanding of, like, dynamics, you know, beyond the incels. The incels, these men are kind of hopeless. Like, one of my favorite YouTubers, ContraPoints, she made a video where she unpacks them, and it's like, you know, it's a lot of, like, powerless men that have been fed this, like, lie of, like, you know, male supremacy, white supremacy. But then they look around themselves and find that they have nothing and not even, like, companionship of any sort, right? And so the people who are willing to offer them a type of community is other men who hate themselves just as much, right?
Yep. And it's not just incels attacking sex workers on the internet. Currently, it was Tumblr.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When? What is this? Last week?
Yeah.
Right, I believe. So last week, and I don't really get on Tumblr, but for some reason, I got on Tumblr randomly that week, and I got this message. So if you're on Tumblr or if you're not, so there's a lot of porn on Tumblr, right? Like, we all know that. There's a lot of porn on Tumblr. They don't really regulate that stuff, right? So, I mean, I've ended up on some really just weird places on Tumblr. I was like, I don't even know how I ended up here, but let me go back. Also, because I don't really know how to navigate Tumblr. Anyway, so they released a statement that they were going. Did it already pass?
No, it's on December, like 15 or 17, something like that.
So they're gonna pretty much remove all porn, including, you know, nude. I mean, including, we all know, like, women nipples are.
Female-presenting nipples, they said.
Female-presenting nipples.
Just in case you are not sure who they're trying to target, they said they're going to remove female-presenting nipples.
Male-presenting nipples are great.
They're great, not of course. Female, have you seen some of these male-presenting nipples? Just perfect pepperonis.
Exactly. And so that, you know, so then there was a lot of conversation online about how Tumblr can just pretty much remove all porn and all this shit just so quickly from their website, but yet refuses to remove, like, racists and Nazis. That's just, like, a side conversation that people were having, but the real attack is on sex workers.
Yeah. You know, and again, this is a result of Sesta Fosta, which we've been talking about all year, right? This bill that was supposed to end, like, child trafficking and sex trafficking in general, but really hasn't done much to change, like, conditions under which trafficking takes place, right? And so Tumblr is like, you know, removing porn from its site because it wants to remove all child porn from their site, which they should, right? As that shouldn't be a thing that exists, period, right? But it's interesting that, again, they can remove all this pornography, but not, like, white supremacists. Because if you look on their search bar, like, you can still straight up look up, like, white nationalism and supremacy and things like that. So it's just, like, what kind of violence do they find acceptable, right? And also, like, what, you know, what are the dog whistles that they're using, right? What language are they using to attack sex workers, right? How do I better word that? But also, it, like, brings to light how their tactics are, like, kind of useless, right? Because they could help, you know, victims of trafficking in other ways that don't necessarily throw sex workers under the bus, right? And we've talked about this multiple times. There's so many other ways to end this, right? By attacking the root of the problem, right? Like, poverty, transphobia, you know, discrimination in the workplace, domestic violence, like attacking all these things which are known to be causes of trafficking. Like, that is how you end trafficking. And we've been told this by multiple different peoples on, you know, who are sex workers and who, you know, who have survived trafficking. Like, this is known shit, but it's easier to, you know, play like the moral police than it is to actually do something tangible to help people. And I think it's because, like, doing something tangible, it's, like, it's difficult, right? Like, that's, you actually have to put in elbow work and, like, challenge a lot of systems that exist, right? As opposed to, like, doing this, like, grand gesture of, with seemingly good intentions.
Yes, exactly. When at the end of the day, a lot of people, that are about all these things, like, don't really care for actual survivors and don't care for actual human and sex trafficking victims. It's just kind of like, just say you hate sex workers. And, you know, because every time I post about sex workers, we always get those comments that they're like people trying to equate it to trafficking. And we're like, I don't know how many times we have to say that. It they're not the same fucking thing, right? And for example, like, one of the news stories that I think mostly this whole year, but recently resurfaced was Santoya Brown's case, right? And Santoya Brown is serving, I don't know how many years, I don't know if it's a life sentence, yeah. 15 years in prison. She's Black. When she was 16, when she was just a child, pretty much, she was a victim of sex trafficking, and she killed her abuser. She killed one of the people that was abusing her, right? She was 16 years old, and she got convicted of killing it, which is, I mean, we all know it's fucking self-defense, right? But of course, she was seen as, or tried as an adult. She was not given, you know, like, a lot of Black children are not given this compassion where the justice system doesn't see them as children. They just see them as criminals and adults. And if Santoya Brown was a white girl, like, she would have never fucking been convicted, first of all. But, you know, recently her story resurfaced and people were making noise about, like, let's try to get her out. I think even Kim Kardashian jumped on that, and we can all talk about how shitty Kim Kardashian is, but I'm like, hey, if you're actually gonna do something about this, then fucking do it, right? Like, let's get her out. But it turns out, I think as of yesterday, there was an article that came out that said that that nothing really can be done for her, that she's just going to have to stay there. And so she's not like the only person that has experienced this, right? Like, there's a lot of children, a lot of women, a lot of femmes, a lot of queer people that have to fight in self-defense, and they just get criminalized for it. And those are the actual people that are suffering from sex trafficking, not, you know, being conflated with, like, sex work.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack there. Somebody who I really respect and who has been really important to, you know, my understanding of social justice work, Miriam, who goes by Prison Culture on Twitter, talked about how we kind of have to, you know, nuance our understanding of the Cynthia Brown situation, right? Because I think in our efforts to advocate for her, we kind of erase her reality, right? So she was a child, right, who was, you know, who grew up in a very abusive household, you know, dropped out of elementary school, I think was born with certain mental disabilities because her mother drank when she was like in the womb. And so I think Cynthia ran away from like the foster care system, right? And entered, you know, the world of like, you know, what prison culture calls like sex trading, right? Like she had a pimp, and even though she was very young, she was doing these things for survival, right? And in our hurry to label her like a victim of sex trafficking, we forget that, like, you know, getting into this industry, right, was like her only hope for survival, right? Even if the courts found her guilty of like murdering this person because she needed to steal from them after they sexually assaulted her, because they did, right? Like, that's not what's wrong here. Like, the sexual assault is wrong. The, you know, her growing up in a foster care system that didn't give a fuck about her, right? Like, these things are the things that need to be tackled, right? So I think we have to be careful that in our efforts to advocate for her, we don't throw other survivors under the bus, right? So I think one thing that's like blaring, I think, that this essay by Prison Culture brought up is that, like, for a lot of the things that a lot of like the artwork that's and like the memes that surround like Cynthia Brown and like, you know, action around her, they keep using images as her as a 16-year-old, right? Like when she's actually like 30, right? She's 29, she's like our age, right? And they're like, what? Why do we feel like this 16-year-old deserves our compassion, but not this grown woman that Cynthia actually is, right? Like, why do we have to paint her as this innocent child when she's now an adult who still deserves our compassion? She deserves our help because she's a human being who was put in a shitty situation, a very violent situation, and survived the best she could, right? Not because I want to credit a prison industrial complex, right, with like, or like, believe that others, yeah, we should support her because she's someone who had to survive these systems as best as she could.
Yeah, that's all. Very good things to keep in mind when we talk about Cynthia's story.
Anyway, you know who should go to jail? Lena Dunham.
She needs to be just, I don't know, at this point, every time she does something, it's kind of like, what's the point of critiquing her? Because she's been dragged, like, it's like, dragged, like, think pieces, like, people have called her out, like, since fucking, I don't know how many fucking years ago, and it's like the... Like, nothing. Like, like, there's an actual, like, Twitter account apology. That, what's it called? Like, Lena Dunham apologies. And it's just, like, why? Like, why are you so awful? Like, I don't understand. Like, I feel like at this point, like, she should just be quiet. But she just continues on and on. And if you don't know what we're talking about, let me break it down for you all. Lena Dunham is, she's like the peak white feminism. She's just like the white feminist queen. And what does she do? I guess she's an actress. I don't even know what she does, really, to be honest. She just says a lot of racist, a lot of inappropriate comment. She's just like the worst. But I'm just breaking that down for the people that don't know who she is. But I'm pretty sure everyone knows who she is. If you don't, Google her. So this was like a year ago, actually, because I remember posting about this. So she has a show called Girls. I'm pretty sure it's over, but this is like, I guess, like her breakout shit, I guess. And there was an actress on the show, Aurora, and I'm probably butchering her last name, but it's Perineo. I apologize for that. But so this was last year, I believe, she filed a report accusing Murray Miller, a writer on the show of Girls, which is Lena Dunham's show, of rape 5 years prior, when she was 17 years old. So this happened, and I remember Lena Dunham, I don't know if it was on Twitter, like she actually wrote a letter where she was like defending this man. Like she wasn't even just like, this is like my friend, or like, I know him, I can't believe he did this. She was literally like, it didn't happen. Like, this is not real. This didn't happen. And just taking his side and just fucking. So she was pretty much just saying like, fuck you. Like, I don't believe you. He didn't do this. And even then, when she made that statement, I was just like, wow. And even though I knew Lena Dunham is trash, even that made me go like, wow, really, bitch? Like, this is someone who is like, I'm a feminist and I believe survivors and Hillary Clinton and all this bullshit, and you're literally writing a letter saying that you don't believe this girl, that she's lying, right? And this was last year. This was around the whole, like, I feel, yeah, even like a Me Too movement, that everyone was like, believe survivors. And even she had tweeted that like a month prior. So that happened. And I guess recently, I want to say it was last week, Lena Dunham wrote an article in which she apologizes to to Aurora, like saying, whoops, I'm sorry. How do we go from here? Like, not even like, what? Not even a fucking real apology. It was just like, no fucking apology. Just making it about herself and about how like she somehow feels so bad and terrible that she didn't believe her and she was wrong. And it's just, this is the person that like white feminists like hold to this like standard, and I'm just like, why? Like, it's just really disgusting, to be honest. It's not surprising. Like, it did surprise me. It's not surprising now, but it's like really fucking low to have like, as a woman, as like someone who's like quote unquote a feminist, who literally publicly said this girl is lying and then retracted her statement a year later, trying to apologize but not really apologize.
The irreparable damage that this did to Aurora, right? When you have someone of Lena Dunham's like caliber, like shaming her, calling her a liar, right? It brings up, like I've mentioned before in past episodes, like this material reality of survivors, of like, okay, so you believe survivors, but like in Aurora's case, like what? How much money does she lose? How many opportunities does she lose? How much time, therapy does she need to get over not only being assaulted, but now having one of like America's like feminist, like white feminist icons, like shame her on such a public level, right? And so when we talk about, and so in this case, like, it can't be ignored that like Lena Dunham like knew the weight that her words would have, but did it anyways because she didn't fucking care. Like, she apologized now, right? But it's just like, the damage has been done. Like, the thing to do was, like, now that you're saying sorry like a year later, like, it doesn't carry any weight. Like, the thing to have done would have been to shut your mouth or to support like a survivor, right? And you mentioned how, like, the letter of survivors, and like, even this letter, like, apologizing to Aurora, like, centered Lena Dunham's own experiences as, like, a victim of patriarchy and things like that. And it's like, maybe, but also, like, white women and white feminism, when not checked, is only one step away from being like, you know, the at the top of white supremacy, right? And so power dynamics need to be understood here. History of like of how survivors are not believed, even more so when they are, you know, of a marginalized identity, right? And also white women's like role in upholding these systems. Like all these things need to be understood and examined in such a way that allows us to, and I'm sorry for saying this, like, but like Lena Dunham shouldn't have a platform. Like I know that certain people are like, oh, canceling doesn't lead to anything, but like Lena Dunham hides under this like veil of progressiveness, but really all she's done is like, you know, hurt people and uplift her fellow white women, right? Like, I'm sorry, but if your empowerment is based on like in like individual empowerment as opposed to collective empowerment, that's like not really useful under an anti-capitalist framework, right? Otherwise you're falling into this Arianna Huffington like lean in bullshit of like, you know, maximizing capital for yourselves and things like that, right? Without considering what impacts it has on other people of marginalized genders.
So that's just our, I guess, on every, it feels like on every episode, I know on our last episode, we focused a lot on white women because we talked, it was our talk about, that we did at Cal State, yeah. LA, about white women and voting and fucking upholding white supremacy, even if that means backing fucking rapists like Kavanaugh and Trump. So it's not new, it's not surprising, but it's definitely still fucking shitty. And I still don't understand how she hasn't been canceled. Like, why does she still have a career? But white women can get away with a lot.
Yeah, she's just a horrible human. Like, and that's without even bringing up, like, her own history as an abuser. Like,
oh, yes. That a lot of people conveniently, like, forgot about or didn't even forget. I think a lot of people were just not just defending her, justifying it, or brushing it off like some, like, tragic.
Yeah, I think people just don't want to cancel their faves, right? And I think it's difficult for certain people because they see like media consumption as like identity, right? So I like this show, Girls. Girls is part of my identity. If you say a creator of Girls is an abuser or is wrong, then you're saying that what I like is abusive and wrong, and therefore I am a bad person. When it's like, no, that's like, that's this problem that we have with like conflating the media we consume with our own politics, our own identity. When it's like, it's not that you're wrong, but your support, whether financial, you know, or you know, your advocacy for them online, like all of that leads to platforming people like Lena Dunham, right, who veil themselves as good but are really harmful. Right. And like that is harmful. And you continue supporting this is harmful. Because we're seeing this also with Nicki Minaj recently, right? Like who, you know, she used to be one of my favorite people in the world. But you know, like I've had to cancel her for myself, right? Like I couldn't really, as a survivor, I really couldn't take her continuously supporting like abusive, like violent men, right? Not only her brother, who was already like a convicted or accused child abuser, right? But also that Tekashi 6ix9ine kid, who's now facing like a lifetime in prison for like gun possessions, but who originally was convicted of abusing a minor, right? Like, and she supported both of them. her brother financially, and, well, actually that Tekashi 6ix9ine dude financially as well, because when you go on and make music with them, like, that's you agreeing to helping them make money, right? And their, like, their song together was like a big hit. It was like a top 10 single. Like, how much money did this abuser not make out of that, right? But every time somebody would call her out on it, she would, like, defend him. And now her current boyfriend is was convicted of raping somebody when he was 16, right? And when these and when this conviction was brought up to her, she was like, oh, well, he was 16, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's not, that, I don't know, that's not the right way to go about, like, yeah, answering to critics.
So it's like, oh, he's not a pedophile, he's just a regular rapist. Okay. Yeah, because she was trying to be like, she was 16 and he was 17, like, that, you know, that they were the same age. And I'm just like, girl, what? So why would you even say this? Like, but yes, Nicki Minaj, and I don't even know what her deal is. She's telling us, yeah, she doesn't care, you know? Like, literally telling us, I do not care what you say, I'm gonna do this, and if that bothers you, then oh well. And so that to me is just like, okay, then I can't support you. I mean, I wasn't really a big Nicki Minaj fan. I didn't hate her, you know what I mean? But at this point, it's like, why should anyone support you? Not to mention, I think we've talked about her in some of our previous episodes about her fans and how they bully people and her anti-sex work rhetoric. Like, just, yeah, at this point, a hot mess. Yeah.
I don't know, for me, like, I've had my stages with her because I used to be a diehard fan, right? And I also, like, understand, like, this, you know, like, with Azealia Banks, all the, you know, think pieces and all the discussion that was around, like, people's quickness to cancel Black women. But for me, it's just like, no, like, I've, you know, not telling the world to cancel her, but for me, like, I can't continue supporting someone who directly supports abusers. Like, that's the line for me personally. People always ask us, like, oh, you know, when should we cancel people, when should we, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you, no one can tell you who to cancel or what media to consume, right? That's a line that you have to draw for yourself, right? And for me, that line has always been abuse. And so, yeah, I don't know, I can't be an enabler for that type of violence. And so I feel like Nicki really needs to have, like, a friend to talk to her and be like, and to, like, not just have yes men around her, right? I imagine, like, when you get that successful, like, everybody just, you know, tells you yes for everything, right? Because you have all the power. But I think she needs somebody to, maybe who's on her level, to be like, hey, you're a fucking mess right now and you're supporting abusers, right? You know, she needs a good friend. And I think I think Ariana Grande is her friend, right? And I think they should have a discussion there. And also somebody should talk to Ariana Grande about, like, laying off the bronzer.
Yeah, because she, yikes. Yeah, she's been, like, lately, there's been a discussions and tweets and posts and everything, articles of Ariana Grande and brown face. Let's just put that out there. So what are your thoughts on this, Ruben? Do you think she's doing brown face? So,
I don't think she's doing brown face. I just think that people, I've seen pictures of her when she was younger and she is really pale. But I also don't think she's, like, doing that thing that a lot of the Instagram makeup artists are doing, where they're, like, emulating a lot of Black women. Like, I don't think that's what she's doing. I just think she's really fucking tan. Like,
yeah.
Like, you mentioned, like, really Jersey Shore-ish. And, okay, and then, like, it also must be said that, like, I don't like Ariana Grande. Like, I'm not a fan. Like, I've only ever really, the only song I ever really played was, like, into you and then thank you next. And that was it. But other than that, like, that's just not really my cup of tea. But I just don't think that she's, like, consciously being like, I want to look like a woman of color, right? I think it was, I think this came about of people seeing, like, all those jokes about, like, oh, Ariana Grande is a Latina. And, like, thinking that people actually thought that. And then just, like, running off with that into, like, SJW, like, Tumblr worlds.
Yeah, I think we mentioned her on our last episode when we talked about Mariah Carey. And so I'm not, like, a fan. I'm not trying to be like, I love her so much, leave her alone. I just think she's, like, a Jersey Shore girl. She's Italian, isn't she? No, right? Yeah.
And her is that brother's tan as fuck.
It's like a thing. Like, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
But I also don't think she's necessarily, like, in trying to do brown face or, like, trying to be black or brown. I just think she does need to lay off on the tan. And she might. If she's on Twitter and I'm sure she sees, like, these conversations happening, like, I'm sure I would hope that she will, because I'm sure she's, like, conscious about it. Like, I wouldn't want people to think that I'm doing that. But, I mean, who knows? But, again, I'm not trying to defend her, justify her. I'm just, like, she reminds me of the Jersey Shore people. Like, with the orange. She's not orange. Not the orange tan, but, you know, the Jersey Shore tanning situation. I think that's one of the guys' names on the show. Anyway, yeah. Let us know what you think about Ariana Grande and being tan, or is she being shitty? Is she trying to be brown? I don't know. There's a lot of critiques on that. Let us know. But
is there, like, how what would be a productive conversation there? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know. I also don't think her sound is necessarily,
I don't,
like,
cause there's
urban either. Like, it's just, like, she makes, like,
she's pop music. Yeah, because, like, then we could be like, oh, well, she's trying. She's, like, appropriating, you know, this culture. Like, she's doing something else on top of that. But I just feel like she doesn't really do anything. She just, you know, she just wears big sweaters and posts selfies. And makes pop music. Like, I'm not that familiar with her. I don't know if someone else knows something that we don't know, but that's what I see. So that's why I feel like I'm, you know, that's why I would just, like, if I was her and I saw these things being written about me, I would just be like, all right, let me lay off a little bit on, on the tanning. But I don't know. It would be weird if she made, like, a statement, like, I'm not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, like, what is she going to say? Like, I'm not doing brown face, y'all. I'm just, like, tan, and the way these pictures come out sometimes. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. That said, when she first came on the scene, I did think she was Latina. But I don't think that was, like, on purpose.
I never thought that. I feel like people thought that because of her last name.
But also, she did her first single that she put out, like, she also put it out in Spanish.
What? So she knows Spanish?
That confused me. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I think when, like, the first time she was on SNL, they, like, asked her in one of the skits, like, oh, like, aren't you Latina? And she was like, no, I'm just really, really Italian. And it's just like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Like, that's the reason that J-Lo was able to play J-Lo was able to play all those white women, like, in her first movies, right? Because J-Lo never played Latina until, like, Made in Manhattan. She always played white women, Italian women specifically. And I don't know. I think there's something. I think what this brings up, especially for Latinxes, right? Like, with jokes about, like, oh, Ariana Grande is Latina, is, like, this, like, uncertainty of, like, Latinidad, in that, like, we're realizing how kind of useless it is, right? Because, like, Latinidad doesn't look like any one thing, right? Which reminds me also of that joke, that meme of, like, Latina stay winning, remember?
Where it was just, like, white women, and sometimes not even, they weren't even, like, Latinas at all.
Yeah, and then it evolved to, like, just people putting, like, random. The
bathtub one. Latinas stay winning. Like, Latina.
Yeah.
Okay, that was funny. All right.
Yeah, I put up one of like Mario in a sombrero hat, and I don't know. This just like there was just yeah. I think that's some, that's a discussion that could be had instead of like, oh, is Ariana doing brown face? Because I don't know. I don't think she is. Maybe she just needs to hire new makeup people.
True.
But that reminds me, like, yeah, like, you know, J-Lo has been able to play white women, and she's able to play also Selena, who is having a new series coming out, right? Because we haven't waved around Selena's corpse enough. I don't know. I have my issues. Not because I don't even know who's, like, playing anything. It's probably Scarlett Johansson, like you mentioned at some point. But, like, I think we've done this before. And I think, for me, there's so many other stories that could be told. And so many other idols that, you know, icons. I mean, there's so many other icons that could be uplifted that we don't, because all of our shit is like all of like Latinx like cultural production revolves around like Selena and Frida, and like that it is what it is means to be like Latinx and Chicanx, especially in LA where like everything is about them. And I don't know, I'm just like, I just kind of hope people would let her rest for once. But it's also like her family's fault for continuing to, like, make money off their daughter.
Yeah, that is true. I feel like, to be honest, the Selena movie was, it was great. Like, as a movie, like, telling her story, I felt like it's a really good movie. Probably the best thing J-Lo has done in her career. And and it's just, like, I think that was good enough. I really don't understand why we need, like, a fucking show that's going to tell, like, repeat, I feel like, the same movie line, like, the same story, because, I don't know, I do feel like, don't get me wrong, I love Selena as much as the next person, but it's like, yeah, I do think it's just, it sometimes it just feels like exploitation, at this, you know what I mean, at this point, it's like, yes, she's always going to have fans. Yes, people are always going to remember her, play her music, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, just, yeah. Just like you said, let her rest. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm personally going to watch that show. I don't know anything about it. I just saw the news literally like a couple hours ago. So I don't even know who's like playing her, who's part of the cast. Like, what is this like? Gonna have seasons? Is it just like, I don't know any information about it. It just doesn't seem interesting to me. Like, I am good with the Selena movie, and I honestly don't feel like there should be a show. But I mean,
yeah, I think they should just let her rest in peace. Like, I understand like her cultural impact, but I think that this continuous like mourning of her has disallowed us from like moving on, like onto like, you know, what Latinidad can even achieve and look like, you know, in a pop landscape currently, right? Because we've mourned like, oh, what she could have been without allowing anyone else to maybe reach a similar height. And I think that's an important conversation. I think that's an important like point to make here, is that like a part of the reason that like a lot of Latinx artists like don't get ahead is because we haven't allowed them to. We've been hyper focused on people who've passed away too soon, right? I don't know. That's just me. They should let her rest in peace. You know who we shouldn't let rest in peace and we should be cursing though, forever and ever?
George
H.W. Bush.
Yes. Yay! Good news today.
Yeah, finally some good news. Yeah, I some people get like bothered when we celebrate like the death of like these war criminals, but it's like this eulogizing and like this, like, you know, this revisionism of history is like, and painting like George H.W. Bush as like this hero ignores the violence he's done. And so that's how we end up with fucking Confederate monuments, like, right, like mourning these assholes like John McCain and George H.W. Bush, like, and painting them as like respectable people. Like, that's how we end up with like monuments to them and like history written. And it's just like, we shouldn't be contributing to this, like, alternative history that is only going to serve a violent purpose in the future. Like, we should really be looking at, like, the kind of shit that went down under him, right? Like, that went down under his, like, his presidency, right? How many queer and trans people, specifically of color, like, would we still have if George H.W. and Reagan before him had acted earlier on, you know, HIV and AIDS, right? How much less violence would the Middle East have seen if he hadn't begun this, like, this trajectory of, like, attacking countries with, like, large oil deposits, right? Like, it's just, yeah. So, that motherfucker, may he burn in hell.
Yes, and everything that we said about John McCain on our episode about him applies to George Bush. So, like I said, not just with John McCain and George Bush, just like when any shitty person dies and everyone all of a sudden is like empathetic and like, let's just be respectful. But when they're alive, people want to talk mad shit. But it's just like, I saw like one specific tweet that I remember. I saw a lot, but one that was like, someone was like, oh, you know, I criticize like George Bush, but like right now all I can think of is like he lost his dad and I'm really empathetic about that. And I'm just like, what? Okay, first of all, it's not like he was old, okay? Like,
it's not like he was like 5 and it's like, oh, my papa died. It's like, no, the motherfucker's like 80 and his 100
yeah, it's dad like, died. Like he was going to die. You know what the sad thing is? That these awful people live long lives. That's what's sad to me, that like,
yeah,
they're, because of them, so many people died, so many people of color, so many queer people, so many children in other countries. And it's like, but yet, like, these fucking monsters get to live out their life comfortably and die of old age. That's what pisses me off. Not like, oh, you know, George Bush, like, they lost his dad. I don't give a fuck what he lost. Like, I feel like he shouldn't even have been alive that long anyway. And I'm not gonna apologize for that. Like, fuck him, fuck John McCain and everybody else. And like I said, like, all the fucking liberals and everyone that quote-unquote hates Trump right now, just wait until he dies, because people are gonna be like, oh, how sad, he was a great president.
I didn't always agree with him as a president, but he was really good on The Apprentice. Like, just I wish y'all knew how fucking whack y'all sound, like, when you eulogize these pieces of shit that, like, have literally been responsible for, like, the lives of so many people, like, ruining so many lives.
Yeah, they didn't care when, like, their victims died. They weren't like, oh, I'm so sad, like, I should, you know, mourn them. No. So, we are happy over here. Happy and not happy. Like I said, I'm not happy because I'm pissed that they got to live comfortable, long lives. But at least, you know, they're off of this planet. So, cheers to that.
Yeah. He's not having a party for one in hell. you like my transition here? So, we're going to be celebrating over here just generally the minor wins that this world gets when there's one less, like, violent asshole in the world. But yeah, that brings us to the end of this episode, and the artist of this episode, who is finally Carly Rae Jepsen, who I have a bone to pick with her, because I just, before we began this episode, actually got my order from the fan site and she gave me the wrong shirt.
Let me see the shirt. Sorry, I missed it. Let me see the shirt.
It's just like her shoes and like her coat from the video, but I ordered her sitting down in a chair. Anyway, so Carly Rae Jepsen is best known for her song Call Me Maybe, but she, you know, broke away from that sound kind of in her like recent endeavors, like Emotion and Side B, and those have been like very like mature pop albums that like have a very clear vision and are very well executed and like are like, don't go outside of their lane. And I don't know. I think she's just very good at being very honest and like in her feelings. I don't know. You're a new listener. Okay.
Yeah. So let me tell you all. So when I met Ruben in Portland, he was playing Carly Rae Jepsen all weekend, and I only knew her as, you know, as most people do from Call Me Maybe. Like, everyone knows that song. And so I was like, okay. I didn't really know she made music outside of Call Me Maybe. So it was weird to me that Ruben was listening to her. But anyway, if you follow Ruben, you know he's a big Carly Rae Jepsen fan. And it wasn't until, I think, when we first started touring, for some reason, I was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to Carly Rae Jepsen. Let me see if I like this. So I was on my flight home, and I listened to it, and I was like, wow, this is, like, really good pop music. And it was like I said, I've been having a really shitty time, so I was actually kind of glad that I waited this long to listen, because it really did help me, like, it's just, like, feel-good music, you know? Like, you're just, it's just, I don't know, just, like, fun and, like, also, like, emotional, which I'm about because I'm emo as fuck, and just like cute music, you know, and it like relaxed me. So needless to say, I am a Carly Rae Jepsen fan, thanks to Ruben now. And so yeah, so then I did look up her sign, because I was like, okay, where's all this emotion coming from? And then I was like, okay, she's a Scorpio, and I fuck with Scorpios, I like Scorpios. So yeah, so, and it was interesting because during our tour, a lot of, you know, we got this question a lot about self-care and like, what do we do for self-care and how do we heal? And I was like, lately I've just been listening to Carly Rae Jepsen. And so, yeah, it's just like listening to fun music.
Yeah.
I like her music because, like, I like pop. I feel like it's something I would definitely listen to when I was, like, in middle school. Like, I'm not saying, like, only in middle school because I'm listening to it now. But it reminds me of, like, I listened to a lot of pop when I was in middle school. So, anyway. And also, I like that she is, you told me she was, like, 30-ish, right?
Yeah.
So, I like that. Because I feel like a lot of pop singers usually, like, that come out, they're usually, like, 19. Which is fine, but I'm just like, yeah, like, she's out there making it, and she's my age, so that's cool.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, and it's gonna sound weird, because our fucking podcast is, like, Bitter Brown Femmes, and, like, we're bitter, but it's also, like, I think one of the things that I worry about is that, like, as people doing, like, radical work, like, we're gonna run out of joy, like, we're gonna forget to have to, like, center joy as well in our shit. And I feel like, for me, like, I think when people ask us, like, what do you do for self-care, like, or like, what do you listen, like, what books or like music do you recommend, and they expect, like, you know, this, like, conscious, like, music and shit. I'm like, I hate conscious music. Like, I was dating this guy who was playing, like, all this conscious, like, Spanish music, and I'm like, I hate this shit. Like, I already spend so much of my day, like, reading, like, and knowing that the world is horrible, that, like, when I want to disconnect, like, I want something that will let me just feel something. And I think Carly Rae Jepsen's music is really good at that. Her new single, Party for One, I think is, you know, it's a cathartic song about masturbation after you lose your partner, right? And I think that's powerful. I think that one of the things that keeps us in a relationship a lot of the times is, like, this familiarity with our partners, right? Specifically, like, physical familiarity. And I think for her, in the song, she's just like, well, fuck that. Like, I have fingers.
Like- Yeah, actually, when that song, and taking it back a little to Ariana Grande when Thank You Next came out. Like, both of those songs came out around the same time, and it was, like, right as, like, Venus Retrograde was, like, ending, and they were, like, perfect for that. But, yeah, Party for One was definitely, like, just you, like, just self-love. Like, just, I don't need anybody. Like, I'm just gonna love myself and party with myself. So that, thank you for that, Carly Rae.
Yeah, shout out Carly Rae. So yeah, with that said, we're going to end this episode. Thank you for joining us again. Remember to subscribe and leave us a review, and then follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And visit the site, bitterbrownfemspodcast.com. And yeah, I know the semester is ended by the time this is out. So, but next year, if you know your organization or your school wants to book us for a live recording again, reach out to us at bitterbrownfemspodcast.com/bookings. And yeah, that site has even like tips on how to like book us in case like your club needs funding or anything of that sort. So yeah, any last words, Cassandra? Oh yeah, weren't you like, you forgot to plug this earlier, but weren't you interviewed for, I don't know, there's the site that you were interviewed for, but Cassandra has a like a 7-minute long video interview.
Yeah, with this, so they're called Neta, and they pretty much they just kind of report in what's going on in RGV, which is like really super cool. It's kind of like, you know, when you have like We Are Me Too and like BuzzFeed, but it's specifically just they made it themselves, and you should check them out. They're called Neta on Facebook. But yes, I did an interview with them while I was there in McAllen, and that was really exciting. They have the lights on me and everything. So it's 7 minutes long, and if you want to check that out, I was kind of nervous about it because my hair looks so bad, but it came out good, I think.
Yeah, no, it was really good. It was, yeah, I usually these things are not that long, and so I was like excited that they gave you so much time.
Yeah. So thank you. Shout out to Neta. Also, shout out to my friend Jen, who listens to our podcast and one of our Patreons, because when I forgot to mention in my shitty life that I was without power in my house for like a week because my landlord's shitty, like I said, and so me and my son both got sick. Oh, and I lost my voice. Anyway, I honestly just think I need like a limpia, because yeah. But anyway, my friend Jen is awesome, and she fixed my power. So thank you, Jen. Love you. Shout out Jen. And her cousin, who was also here, helped. Again, go to our website, haters. You'll find everything that you need there. And also just follow us on all social media. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, y'all.
Bye. Bye.
If you didn't know that you were right for me, then there's nothing I can say. Tried to call you out to spend some time to see, but somebody's in your way. Tried to let it go and say I'm over you. I'm not over you, but I'm trying. Party for one, if you don't care about me, I'll just dance by myself, back on my beat. I'll be the one, if you don't care about me, making love to myself, back on my beat. You don't want my love if you don't care about me. I just dance by myself, back on my beat. Party for one, if you don't care about me, making love to myself, back on my beat. Once upon a time I thought you wanted me. Was there no myself, back on my beat. I'll be the one, if you don't care about me,
you don't care that I'm
making love to myself, back on my beat. You don't want my love, if you don't care about me, I just dance for myself. Back on my beat.
back on my beat. Party for what? My beat.